guys, thank you, everyone. There you go. Glad to help. Watch your step. Yes.
Hi.
Hi, how are you? It's good to see you today. You know, a long time ago, every time I walk up to the stand, I think about it. A long time ago, I had a mentor, a professor, who used a music stand to preach from and to teach from. He had one he brought with him always. And as he taught or as he preached, the whatever you call it that makes it stay up had lessened, and it began to go down. And he wasn't real tall anyway, but slowly as he taught and preached, he went down with it. And then he would pull it up. And I always thought, any of you old enough to remember manual typewriters where you got the end of the line and you hit the bar and it slid across? That's what he looked like to me. He'd go down, then he'd pop up. And that would last for a long time. I have solved that problem in my life by sitting down. Today, we're in the second chapter of Matthew. It's a familiar passage for all of you. It's the Magi. We call them kings. We call them wise men. We call them astrologers. Some scholars think they were probably Zoroastrian, if that's how you say that, priests. The point for us is they belong to another religion, another faith. They were not Jewish. They were not likely to become Jewish. That's important. I think the title for today, if you're looking at the slide, says, Real Faith is a Journey. One of the prayers we often pray is for revival in America, for revival in a church, for revival to fall across a community. But 9 times out of 10, that prayer emits for us because we think somebody else needs it. The idea of an epiphany is actually the 6th, but we preach on it today. It's the wise men seeing the light. Epiphany is awakening. Epiphany is a seeing the bright light. An epiphany is going, wow, like it's for the very first time. Wow. These three and their entourage, which was probably up to 100, maybe better, had noticed something peculiar in the sky. They had noticed a star fall across the horizon. It compelled them to follow, to go. They had begun to sense that something's taking place, and they did not know what it was. The favorite hymn of the temple at that particular time, and often the favorite hymn of a church today, was, "That's the way I like it." That's the way I like it. They were hanging on to, and this is important for you believers to understand, the problem they had with Jesus, even the birth of Jesus, was, that's not how it's supposed to be. And thus, that falls into the category of our prayers for revival, because someone else isn't getting it the way we get it. And so, I want to talk to you about faith being a journey. It's a trail, it's a path, it's somewhere you walk. Oh, you know vaguely where you're going down the road, but you really don't know the what's next of it all. It's not a destination. It's not, I received Jesus on June 20th in 1916, and wow, here I go. It's not about just praying more, reading my Bible more. What if it's more about being more like Jesus? I know there's no old people in this service, but one of the things I notice about us who are over 60, and I am, is that we talk proudly about the filter coming off. I can say whatever I want. Revelation talks about Antichrist a good bit. Do you understand how Antichrist that statement is? For as we age and as we mature in our faith, we ought to become more Christ-like, not more Antichrist. We ought to become more of the sweetness, more of the fruits of the Spirit, more, so that one day we will take the last breath in our earthly body and the first breath of our soul with Christ. We ought to be more like Christ, not less. Faith also involves a vision for something that is beyond our ability, for something that we cannot accomplish of our own will. A church exercising its faith, looks out there and says, what can't we do and how do we do it? Faith will also create dreams that go beyond our current situation. The problem for believers, and then we get together and we call ourselves a church, is we travel in circles. We tend to think of what we always did, of what we always do. Well, what was last year's budget? We tend to plan based on what we did. And we have dreams of making what used to work and doesn't work so well anymore work once again. Do you understand? Repeat that back to me. We tend to dream and have visions and believe that somehow faith is getting something that's not working as well to work again. I always go back to the story of coaching shorts. Who remembers them? Anybody old enough to remember coaching shorts? Yeah, the problem with coaching shorts wasn't so much when we wore them when we were 18 playing our first church softball game, but that we thought somehow when we hit 35 we could wear the same coaching shorts and look just as good. That's faith, that's believers today. That somehow we can keep doing what we've always done and look just as good, and we just don't understand why y'all don't like it. We don't need faith to do what we already do. We need faith to do what we have not yet done. We don't need faith to stay home, to stay the same. We need faith to change. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in the territory of Judea, among the rule of King Herod, Magi, priest of another religion, came from the east to Jerusalem, and they asked, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We have seen a star in the east, and we have come to honor him." What's the plan here? Can't you picture the wise men? I dipped into this a little on Christmas Eve. Can't you picture the wise men talking to each other, the priest? What's the plan? Well, the plan is to go. Go where? Over there. Where? Where the star shines. See that star? That's where we're going to go. What are we going to do when we get there? We're going to worship. Worship who? A new king. But we have a king. Well, it's not our king, but we're going anyway. And then here's the church part in the wise men. Shouldn't we plan a committee? The plan for them was simply this. Go and see. What are we going to see? Who knows? What are we going to do? Who knows? The plan is just to go. Can you see the faith in that? Can you also get a picture, a little bit of a touch of a grasp, that these three foreigners, not Jewish people, seem to have more faith than the Jewish people? I've always been amazed in my work with unchurched folk. Sometimes they have more faith than we do. That's a sermon for another day, perhaps. The outcome is uncertain. The destination is not clear. Just go and see, it says. Let's just pack it up. Let's travel for days, weeks. Let's travel for a couple of years by camel just to see what might happen. We tend to not like new things. How many of you have a shirt you've had for 20 years and you want to keep on wearing it? How many of you wear socks with holes in them? Yeah. Do you know you can get a six-pack of socks at TJ Maxx for $5? And if they're on sale, you can get them for $3. And how many of you keep wearing the same stuff again and again and again? We won't even go any further than that about what you're wearing with holes in it. We don't like new stuff. And we want to cling to what's... Yeah, someone did. Kids always do. Kids always do. How much do we teach our kids to stop doing when what they're really doing is what Jesus asked us to do? To believe, to imagine, to hope, and to dream. Churches always want to know, how do we make what doesn't work work again? I'm halfway through my career, 42 years, and Sunday school material finally quit being print on newsprint. Teachers, you remember newsprint? It's that newspaper paper. We still did that. You know when we should have quit that? In the 50s. Jesus would say that old wine holders won't hold new wine. I suspect John really, really hit it well on everything you've accomplished, not just in the last year, but in the last 5 years. If you're new here, this church has raised some remarkable money to do some fascinating remodeling, to prepare this to be a place to receive, to welcome, to host, to bring the community in for no cost and to say, here we are for you. And I suspect that you didn't raise all the money and remodel the facilities and create four pillars. Again, if you're new. Hey, by the way, if you're new and you have any questions, John and I will be down the hall, last door on the right, right after this service for a Q&A. We both pastor here. We both are clergy. Any questions you'd like to ask, we'll be down last door on the right, right after this service. I suspect you haven't done all of this journey of preparing and dreaming to do what you've always done. I believe that somewhere inside the people of this church, the people of this place, did all this to dream of what might take place if you did the things you've never done before. New wine, new year. Now, who doesn't like new wine? There you go. Yeah, raise them right, kid. There you go.
Whatever gets
you. Yeah, get through the day. There you go. I understand completely sometimes. New year requires new wine. A new year requires new things. You know, grandparents out there, I always complained because grandma always got me clothes for Christmas. How many of you complain because grandma always got you clothes for Christmas? How many of you are now grandmas, and what do you get your kids for Christmas? Clothes. Why? Because he needs to quit wearing that shirt. It was the time for new things. Jesus hit this even from birth. Let me tell you how it's going to be. I'm going to show up where you do not expect and where you cannot understand in a way that you cannot believe could possibly be. I'm about to turn the apple cart of your faith upside down. And some of you will come along with me and some of you will want to kill me. Some of you will embrace the journey and go along. And some of you will reject simply because, well, he healed on the Sabbath. Well, look who he has lunch with. I know. Bob Goff, one of the books I'm highlighting in January for you is Dream Big by Bob Goff. Love Does by Bob Goff is the first study down the hall for a new small group that John will begin. Bob Goff's Dream Big says this: if we are satisfying doing what we used to, it will be easy to miss what we've been created to be. Such it is with all of us. I have a friend who's a doctor. His dad was a doctor, his grandpa was a doctor, his great-grandpa was a doctor, his uncle was a doctor. He wanted to be a forest ranger, but he's a doctor. Sometimes we just do what we do because it's what we do and what we've done and what we always do. And I suspect somewhere along the way we miss the dreams and the hopes and the possibilities of the great God who we serve. Let's look at unbelievers for a minute. They went, and look, the star they'd seen in the east went ahead of them, traveled along the journey with them until it stood over the place where the child was. They saw the star there over a manger, and they were filled with joy. My son does some traveling, Joshua. He and his wife like to hit about 6 states in 2 days. They pack up the 4Runner with the dogs and they go. They stop along the way at some of these things. Any of you ever seen the biggest ball of twine? Mm-hmm. Any of you get out of your car and go, dang, that's all it is? These magi, these priests, these wise men, these kings, these wealthier than most people, had an opportunity when they got off their camel and they saw the house where Jesus was. They saw the simplicity, the humility. They saw the child who was just not what they expected. There is no temple. There is no gifts. There is no royalty. There is no palace. One of them could have said, "We traveled all this way for this." But they had gifts. So I ask you to connect the dots. They saw something they did not understand. They began a journey to some place they did not know where it was. They traveled a path with gifts to impress a king. They make their journey and they go along the way and they hope for goodness and they hope for peace and they wonder what lies ahead and they do not know. And they arrive at a humble home. They arrive at a simple place. You know, we're not in the manger at this point. We're in a house. We're in simple, humble surroundings. Do they deserve the gold, frankincense, and more? They gave it anyway. They seem to sense that goodness is happening. They look into the mystery, the newness, and they walk with it. They allow joy to enter the uncertainty, and they give gifts without restraints and without designation. This is where faith lives. How can we get all of us involved? Not faith. How can we provide for those who have yet to come? Faith. How can we make this work again? Not faith. New attempts, new people, new ideas, new faith. Why do we continue to choose not faith? Why do we embrace things like the filters coming off instead of the fruits of the Holy Spirit? A true story. True story. At one of my appointments, I was worked in a school. Sometimes I'd volunteer in the library. Sometimes I'd just do stuff for them while I was there. But whenever they would have new residents come to tour the school, they would have dignitaries come on site, they would have board members, they were near Tuscaloosa, so they would sometimes have university people pop in. And they wanted to see what was happening, what's taking place, and what had changed, for this was a very popular school in the area. But they had one teacher who felt it was her duty to tell the guest and the dignitaries everything that's wrong, everything had changed, and why it wouldn't work, and what she didn't like about it. This school had very strategically developed a team of staff and teachers who, when dignitaries or guests were on campus, they would keep this teacher away from them. I need you over here. Would you go over there? Can we meet about this? It was intentionally strategized how to keep Miss Negative away from the guest. Don't be that church member. Did you hear that? Don't be that believer. Don't be that person that wakes up and sees everything that's wrong with the world. Don't believe that the filter gets to come off. Don't buy that crankiness is a part of Christian aging. No. Fruits of the Spirit are part of Christ. It's a part of the awakening to realize I am one step closer to Jesus and I had best be acting like him. They entered the house, the text says. They saw the child with Mary, his mother. They fell to their knees. They honored him. They opened their treasure chest and presented him with gold, with frankincense, and with myrrh. They sense the amazement of the unknown. That's faith, even before they were believers. One of these days we'll teach, John and I'll teach a class on basic beliefs. One of the fascinating beliefs that United Methodists have is that we believe in something called prevenient grace. That long before anyone has their awakening to the salvation brought about by Jesus Christ, long before, grace has always entered into our world, woos us and draws us and pulls us near. That grace is always at work out there, wooing and pulling us closer to our God. That there is no sudden bang and I'm saved, but grace has been working for days, for weeks, for months, for years. The Magi had a choice to make. Poor child and family, this will never work. Or to say, I wonder what will happen next. Let's give the gifts. What would you choose if you walked to the humble home with chest of gold and frankincense and myrrh? What if in the next year we took a journey together? What if next year we just operated on what you give? And what if every fundraiser we've ever done, let's stop and pause for a minute. When we raise as much money as we've raised in the last 5 years and we still do fundraisers to support the budget, does anybody find that embarrassing? What if we kept doing the fundraisers, but we gave it away? What if we had an extra $24,000 a year and we put $12,000 of it into college scholarships for nursing and community college, trade school? What if 12 to 20 times at the next graduation, the principal is reading off, and Johnny got a scholarship for $1,000. And what did he do to get it? Hoped. And what if we gave 12 grand to Ecumenical Ministries Food Pantry every year instead of collecting beans and peanut butter? What if we exercised our faith? And what if we raised money to give it away? Well, preacher, we'd have to delete something from our budget that we've always done. Yes, you would. But look at what you would do. Look at what you'd become. Look at who you'd draw. Anybody familiar with the Vineyard Church? Steve Shulgren started the Vineyard Church up in Cincinnati. It became a worldwide movement. The prayer he heard as the church started was this: you go find and do for the people nobody wants, and I'll give you the people everybody wants. That sounds like faith. That sounds like Jesus. So let me ask you simply this: what's new? What's going to be new in your faith journey this year? What are you going to do? Well, I'm going to do more praying. I'm going to do more reading. I'm going to do more. What if you just went to see? What if you noticed the cashier, the bag boy, the mechanic, the nurse? What if you just noticed the hurting, the broken, the lost, the weary? And what if you then sucked in a deep breath and said, we the people of God will do something for them? The Holy Table is before us today. Kate will join me up here to serve you. Simply put, I say the Lord be with you. Emmanuel, God is with us. All God asks is to love, to believe, to hope, to dream. All that God asks is to come. And then God will say to us, take your faith and go and see. Go see what? I don't know. Go do what? I don't know. Go be what? Jesus. I don't know if that makes any sense for you or not. But stew in it for a while. Let's think about it. Our colleague today, Kate Norris, serves communion with us. John has already gone down to the other space. Thank you, Kate. We invite everybody to come. Another thing I love about United Methodist is that everyone is welcome. You don't have to be a member. You don't have to be a guest. You don't have to be a believer. Because we believe grace is here in this space and that grace can come from the elements. We have many things for you today. We have a gluten-free option if some of you need that. Yes? Yes. Gluten-free. Do it again. There you go. We also have, if you're not quite ready to be in close contact, we also have what we irreverently call to-go packs. And they are sealed, like Johnny Carson used to say, in a mayonnaise jar and in a something. And what we will do is Kate will break a piece of the bread for you, and she'll hand it to you. And we have sanitized our hands. And you will dip it into the chalice. And then you'll just say, God, what's new? And how do I fit into it? Give me a dream that I cannot accomplish on my own. And then, friends, let's follow the star together. Kate, my colleague, the body of our Lord, this is us today.